Good morning. Today is Friday, August the 10th. We've got new blood in the booth this morning. Not interim, as yesterday was, with our guest, the county probation officer, chief probation officer. But this is with Humble Bay Fire. We've had Bill Reynolds in for a period of time as the interim. We've now transitioned out of the Bill name.
Yeah.
Now we're into the Sean name. Sean Robertson is with us, the permanent Humble Bay Fire Chief.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir. And he's here for the long haul.
Yes. For the foreseeable future.
There you go. Uh-oh. And now we get into myopic vision. Howard, why do they say that this morning? This one would probably be pretty easy for somebody who's kind of coming from a paramilitary. Okay. What do the letters AWOL stand for?
Absent without leave.
Yes. Where did it come from, though? When did it start?
I don't know, but I would guess in our historic world wars.
Well, that's pretty safe. Yeah. Since before the Civil War.
Oh, really?
This term has been used in the Army to signify absent without leave. Confederate soldiers caught while AWOL were made to walk about the camp carrying a sign bearing those letters.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, that's a little bit of public shaming, huh?
Yes.
And I bet you they were the first ones to respond, charging up the hill, too.
Yeah. At least they were prodded in that direction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, face the right way this time.
Yeah.
Oh, so what? I've never asked this with all the various fellows that have come through. How did you find out that you were selected as the permanent chief?
Well, it was a unique experience because I was the sole applicant for the position. And the final step in the selection process was a full board interview with the Joint Powers Authority Board. And part of their process was to deliberate on their choice and then to make an announcement. So how I found out was at the conclusion of the interview, they said they would make an announcement that day. I walked outside into the parking lot because the interview was held at our classroom. And I heard some voices behind me, and I turned around, and the full board came out and said, "Congratulations, you're the new fire chief." That's how I found out.
Now, I don't know if that's an only Eureka syndrome, but yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that nobody else threw their hat in the ring?
I was very surprised. I was disappointed because it's an obviously very significant and important position. I wasn't too surprised that there were not any applicants locally, just because of the dynamics of it, or just knowing people in the community in the area. But I was very surprised that nationally or statewide there were no other applicants.
Either that's a red flag or a nice vote of confidence by your peers. I know which way I would prefer to interpret it.
Yes. It would have been great to have a more comprehensive process. And would it have validated my selection more in the long term? I think that'll depend more on my actions.
Yeah, performance is going to take care of that one.
And I also think people are confident in my abilities and quality to do the job. And so, that makes me feel good. But with any job, healthy competition is healthy competition.
So since you've been in the department for a little bit.
Yes.
Are there any glaring things that you're looking to adjust? Or is it I guess the norm is it going to be an evolution or a revolution for the first little bit?
It's going to be an evolution. We've had tremendous change in the last 5 years. My priority is to move us to a position of stability. Part of that is, having had two chiefs in the last, it's been the life of the consolidation. Chief Woods, I believe, started in 2010 with the Humboldt Fire District. It may even have been before that, but it was around 2010 when he started there and then became the Humboldt Bay or Joint Chief in 2011. And then through consolidation, just a lot of turmoil, a lot of changes, a lot of adjustments to how things were done before. So my evolution is to just take us to a position of stability, including with relationships with our parent agencies, with the greater community, and really engaging more with the community to get a better sense of what service we're needed to provide and how we're going to do that.
Is it broken?
No, it's not broken. It's not broken at all. We're in a really solid place. I just feel like the evolution is moving the changes to a norm position so that everybody knows what the future is going to be and there's not this constant questioning.
Can that be done, Sean, with the staffs, with the historical knowledge that the individuals have? Or does it just kind of come as things change, that what is normal? It's kind of like, you know, you buy a new piece of fancy gear today.
Right.
Okay, and the guy that's hired tomorrow, well, of course, we've always had that. Yeah. Instead of remembering what was.
Right. Well, yeah. I think it's both. You need the legacy to give you a good perspective on how to adapt the new technology or the new process or whatever it is to how we've done it and to how we're going to do it. And to me, that's managing change successfully is acknowledging that it's going to have to be integrated.
KINS News and Information Times 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the new chief for Humboldt Bay Fire, Sean Robertson. I'm now saying Humboldt Bay Fire smoothly. This is weird.
That's good.
It happens good over time.
Practice.
I still don't like the badge, though, the patch.
Really?
Yeah.
What don't you
Ken
like
had a couple of other ones that I thought were much better.
Okay. Is it
but
a
I
color?
Lost.
You lost, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You win some, you lose some. Sean, for somebody who doesn't know you, where'd you come from? Why are you here?
Well, I was born and raised in South Africa, in the town called East London, which is in the southeast coast.
Most of us would consider it way south London.
Very south, yeah. Very okay. South. Not a little bit east, but more south. Then Johannesburg, most people have heard that name before. I came to this country in 1996 when I was 23, following a girl I had met in Europe when I was traveling around there. And then I stayed, and 20 years flew by. I started with Eureka Fire in 1998. I was going to Humboldt State. I was attending the HROP Academy, Fire Academy that we had. And I was volunteering with Arcata Fire. I was there for...
Isn't that where almost a rite of passage?
It was for a time.
Everybody who's in fire, yeah, has to go through.
The
yeah.
joke I heard from somebody who was an Arcata volunteer a few weeks ago is we've gotten to the other side of that where almost all the old Arcata Fire volunteer people have left. They've either gone for retired or resigned to go somewhere else. So that's kind of a funny legacy. But yeah, I've been with Eureka and then Humboldt Bay Fire for 20 years, through all the ranks. been a battalion chief for...
the sigh said it all.
lot of memories. Then I was a battalion chief for 7 years, and then recently took the fire chief's test, and we've talked about that process. Why am I here, or why did I decide to do that? For me, I have a personal development plan as a human, and challenging myself is important, and this is a significant challenge. And I also think it's the greatest opportunity I have to continue to have a positive influence on my organization and my or our community, and I think I can be successful at that.
How tough is it going to be not to be a fire guy, but to be a management guy?
It's going to be difficult, and I've always heard that you have to make that change or that separation. How I've been a battalion chief has given me some adjustment to that, and instead of being one or the other, I think what's important is to use my experience and knowledge as a fire guy, to use your term, and to then be able to make better choices for the organization by understanding different perspectives and not losing that that perspective again of what we're doing and how we do it. You know, I can still throw a 24-foot or 35-foot ladder. I can pull hose. I still have that physical memory or competence. And so I think that's important in not just being a better manager, but also being a better leader in looking forward and making decisions and also understanding and taking care of the people who work for the fire department.
You mentioned Arcata Volunteer Fire Department. I know Eureka used to have a more robust volunteer program. Is that on the horizon at all? Is there opportunity, or have conditions changed such that there really isn't the same need for a volunteer program, or if there is, it's defined differently?
It's definitely changed a lot. The American Fire Service and volunteers have changed a lot in the last, I would say, 2 decades. Just the increase in the requirements to be a trained firefighter have precluded many people from being able to give the time to meet those as a volunteer. And then people's lives are busier. I'd say just being a parent these days, a lot of people don't have the time to commit to something so significant. So that time commitment as a volunteer has changed throughout the country. And we're seeing this as a national problem.
Oh, really? It's throughout the country? It's
not Okay. So recruitment of volunteers and retention of volunteers is a significant problem countrywide.
That kind of used to be the way you get your foot in the door, right?
It still is. So for Eureka Fire, even when I started 20 years ago, we had volunteers, but they were a supplement. And they were not used at... there wouldn't be a third person or a fourth person on the engines. They more would go to the incidents and assist at that point.
Kind of like crowd control and things of that nature.
Well, yeah, they would also participate in the fire suppression, more in the after stages, so in salvage and overhaul, for example, because we're very fortunate with our 5 stations to have a very rapid response to this incident. So the initial attack, for example, the career personnel would do. So their role changed for sure. But I would say now we still have a robust volunteer program. And the biggest benefit from it is to develop good recruits that become career personnel.
I think that's always kind of been the case, other than the barbecue thing. Yes. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sean Robertson, the new Humble Bay Fire Chief. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Sean, the concept of taking over in the middle of a season, I'm thinking the fiscal season, I'm thinking the fire season.
Right.
At this point, what's more challenging? Working in developing the budget and making sure that you're really familiar with it, or if that was something you were doing before, obviously that's off. Or the fires that are going on throughout the region and just the polls and the MOUs and the JPAs that are causing reallocation of resources. What's a higher challenge right now?
The higher challenge right now is definitely more the latter, responding to the increased resource draw. As far as the budget, through the promotional process and then just wanting to be more knowledgeable about my potential new position, I've been working on being more educated on the budget for the last 6 months or even longer. And I have a pretty good idea of where we are right now. I participated in the budget preparation in the last few months, so I feel relatively good with where I am personally on that, and that work will continue into the future. But
that's why you have the big desk, right? So you can have all those piles of paper.
I try to minimize those. I have several filing cabinets, so just working on my organizational system. But yeah, papers on desks I tend to get left or lost, so I try not to do that. But yeah, there's a lot to understand and deal with every day. And of course, as the fire chief, that is my big responsibility, is to manage and prepare our budget. And what I'm interested in is a five-year solid plan that everybody is aware of and we can deal with. I am preparing for negotiations with our union and our management group. Again, I want to move to a position of stability where having a multi-year contract and just...
Is it an annual now?
For the union, it is a single-year contract, yes. That will expire in December. Yep.
Is that normal? I mean, it seems like you'd be spending a lot of time negotiating year over year.
Yes, it's I would say uncommon to have a single-year contract, but that has happened before just due to different circumstances.
During periods of change, fluctuations, financial challenge. That would make sense.
Yeah.
With the regional fires.
Yes.
I can't recall ever the highways being closed for this length of time.
No.
It really is. It would be uncomfortable if it was in our face all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the news is talking about it, but they're not saying highways closed. Detours this period of time.
Right.
With the fires of the magnitude that they are, northeast and south of us, how stretched is the department right now? Or do you have a lot of folks that are out there?
We've committed to supporting the incidents, but we've also committed to maintaining our coverage locally. That's an important service quality for us. So what we have out right now is a station coverage for CAL FIRE with three people on an engine. We also sent a battalion chief, Chris Ammons, to the CAR FIRE last week as a strike team leader replacement. So we have those four people out at this time.
So you're backfilling into Fortuna, so Fortuna's CDF can have their guys out there?
Correct. We're actually covering the Trinidad station right now. Other local departments are covering the other stations throughout the range unit. But they have two engines in the entire range unit right now, and all their other resources are on the other fires.
That's got to make for some sleepless nights.
Yeah, just how to maintain that coverage, and then the effect it has back here. Our firefighters work a lot of overtime to supplement that. We're still down six positions right now.
Are they all entry level?
No, they're not. At this point, we're hiring four new firefighters. The other two positions are long-term workers' comp issues, and with that is a firefighter and a captain who've just had various injuries. But we're hopeful that they'll be returning in the next couple of months.
If somebody's on long-term disability, how long do you have to hold the slot for?
Well, it's basically a year.
A decision is made at that point?
Yes, okay. Through the state, we have to make a decision.
Oh, it's through the state is involved with those?
Yeah, just through the state workers' comp fund and our workers' comp carrier as well. They have to meet certain requirements and laws.
So if you guys are covering the Trinidad CDF station.
Right.
The fire last Saturday out by West Green and the big flag, what was that caused by?
I don't know. I don't have details on that incident.
All right, then we'll go to break. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Sean, what is unique about our area when it comes to fire? Is there anything that leaps out, or when you go to some of the peer training events, they kind of shake their head and go, really?
Well, I would say in the last several years, our unique fires were marijuana-based, so grow fires. We went to several of those. Those were very unique. Then that went to the BHO or hash lab fires. That was very unique, too. The other unique part for Eureka is we have a lot of fires for our size population and fire service. Comparables have been, you know, places like Fresno.
The number or the percentage?
Relatively speaking, you know. If you just look at the data, the number is relatively small, but the dollar loss and compared to our other causes, it's pretty significant.
Sure, if you get a couple of burns going in redwood buildings, they're going to not leave a whole lot.
Yeah, and then we just have oral balloon frame construction, a lot of void spaces, and then just our demographics, you know, a lot of people at under poverty level or neglected buildings that have not been maintained or updated in, you know, in decades. And so all of those things together just create this situation. And part of our obligation is to try to reduce that risk through our risk reduction measures or prevention measures, and then just being prepared for that.
The hash fires.
Yes.
Have they gone down?
Yes, they have.
Why?
I don't have any data to give a strong, but my gut or my anecdotal understanding or thought is the processes have been more refined. Especially now that it's legalized. In 2 years, we went from fires where people were using a PVC pipe with holes on either end that they would run butane through, to very sophisticated setups in a parking garage where they would have 150-pound cylinders hooked to.
So they're stepping up.
they stepped up, and I think part of it was those items were more commercially available. And I think people just, because more people were doing it, they just refined their process and reduced the risks to it. We haven't had a significant hash lab fire or incident in at least a year that I can recall.
How about grow houses? Yeah, we hear about, you know, obviously with the legalization, lots of things have changed.
Right.
But it still appears like there are a number of houses in the area, I won't call them homes.
Right.
Houses in the area that profile from the outside that they could still be grow houses. Do you still run into those to the same extent?
No, not to the same extent. Again, we've seen those diminish quite a bit. And again, I think we sometimes find grows in the house that they may have a fire caused by some other issue. But certainly we're not, it's not a regular problem for us anymore.
I know we, in the old days, weed abatement used to be a big deal.
Right.
Is that a program that still exists?
It exists still through the city. Their code enforcement department still does that. Because of our organization, we don't have people specifically dedicated to that. We're actively recruiting or going to be recruiting a community risk reduction officer, and that would be one of their duties. But if we see an issue that is significant or is referred to us, we work with the city to mitigate that.
Welcome aboard, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Now you're part of our gang, too.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity.
See everybody tomorrow morning.